Hallelujah.
Oh, praise God. Nothing being filled with the Spirit, with peace, joy, and righteousness. Glory to God. You know, so all your troubles go away. Everything leaves. Everything's gone. Anything that you were concerned about gets wiped. When you cross over, everything's gone. You know, people drink to get there. People smoke pot to get there. Other drugs don't get you there. Nothing gets you there. Only Jesus. In other words, people are looking for a peace, but they can never find peace. You only find peace crossing over in the presence of God. Other than that, you still fight for your life. You're still fighting and still struggling. You know, the Word tells us that God is shaking the heavens and the earth. Amen? That means He's bringing storms. But they're called storms of righteousness. Everyone say storms of righteousness. And He's got a specific purpose behind every storm. Hallelujah. I'm going to get it. So storms are not bad for us. They're bad for the enemy. Amen? You know, God says He reigns on the good and the evil. But again, we're not. And our storms are to produce the character of Christ in us. And so that we can be a witness to the world that in these storms, as people are struggling, you are walking in peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. You're trusting in God no matter what. No matter what's happening. These are called storms of righteousness, and we're about to see a lot more. You know, Trump's been through a lot of storms, and he ain't done yet. Elon Musk has been sucked into a lot of storms. They're storms of righteousness because God is exposing the wicked while revealing the righteous that's exposing the wicked. So there are storms that you and I will go through, and we're going through. Listen, when you go through one, you go into another. Storms never cease. But you can always have peace, joy, and righteousness in the storm where you're resting in the storm no matter what. You know, the storm doesn't affect you. It should assist you. Does everybody understand that? In Psalm 40 and verse 1 through 5, let's speak it. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust, and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are Your wonderful works which You have done, and Your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to You in order. If I would declare and speak them, they are more than can be numbered. In other words, God is expressing His love for us. So many times people have a hard time to receive God's love because they don't understand God's love. God's love is unconditional. It has nothing to do with what you've done. Does everybody understand that? It doesn't matter. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, what you should have done and what you didn't do. God's love towards you is unconditional. And people have a hard time to receive the love of God because they're caught up in the soulish arena. They're caught up in their carnal mind, and they can't break through so that they can receive God's love. Well, Lord, how can You forgive me? That's what the enemy wants us to think all the time. How can You forgive me for these things that I've done? How can You forgive me for not being consistent and obedient? How can You forgive me for being rebellious? How can You forgive me for all the stupid decisions I've made? How can You forgive me? for all the money I wasted. How can you forgive me, Lord? He says, quit looking at that. I'm not looking at it. Did you repent for it? Yes. Then why you keep bringing it up to me? I don't remember it, and I don't see it. So get rid of it. But see, our memory is always influenced by the influences and forces of evil in this world. They're always trying to mess with us. But we've got to stand strong in the Lord and the power of his might and not on our own strength. And realize and stand on his word, especially where we're to trust, rest, and wait, right? I waited patiently for it, and he heard me. Well, if you're going to wait patiently, he's going to hear you. He's going to make something happen. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it's going to happen yet. Sometimes there's a suddenly. Soons are usually a long time. Suddenlies can happen anytime. When God says soon, you mean, oh, man, who knows when then? But suddenlies can happen at any moment. He makes a way even during the storm. How many, let me share with you. If a storm is surrounding you, you know that you could be walking in a storm, but it's removing everything else around you but you. It's not only removing, but it's also gathering. Psalm 11, verse 4 through 6. Let's speak it. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone and burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. That's a storm. That's a storm of righteousness. He tests with storms of righteousness. See, now, there are individuals that react when there's a storm or testing of righteousness instead of responding. So when some things don't go their way, they react instead of respond. And to react is according to the flesh and not according to the spirit. It's terrestrial, not celestial. Amen? In Matthew 24 and verse 3, now, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and asking him, tell us when these things are going to be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Is that happening? Yeah. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things, now look at wars and rumors of wars are storms. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So we know that there's going to be more storms coming. There's going to be more threats coming. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places, and all things are the beginning of sorrows. Man, I don't know if you've seen how many earthquakes are going on. I don't know if you heard about the semi-eruption in the Grand Canyon. And there's been all kinds of things that are going on right now globally. Tornadoes, earthquakes, storms like crazy. I mean, there's more in this last year than there has been for many, many years put together. And these are not man-created. Hello? These are righteous storms, storms of righteousness. Praise God. Verse 9. It says, then they're going to deliver you up to tribulation, which is just another greater storm. And they will attempt to kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Many will be offended. That's called react. Then many false prophets, of course, will rise up and take position at that time and try and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Why? Because they've been offended. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel, the kingdom, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So there's going to be plenty of storms coming. That's why the word says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. In 2 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to start at verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood of the world of the ungodly. Well, it's a flood. Is that a storm? Yeah. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. That's another storm. Condemn them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to what? Deliver, cause a way of escape, the ungodly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, where angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Again, to deliver us from everything, from the attacks that he in the storms. Remember, we are in righteous storms of righteousness right now. We're going from one storm to another. It doesn't stop. It's almost like being in a wilderness. But we're not in a wilderness. These are activated storms by God. He is shaking and quaking everything so that we can walk in trust, rest, wait, in the power and faith of the Holy Spirit, standing on the Word of God, knowing that He's faithful to complete what He started. So no matter what's going on, God's your avenger. He's your hero. He's your protector. He's your provider. He's your comforter. He's your friend. And He's your King. Amen. Exodus 9, verse 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may what? That's what God is saying right now, you know. Let my people go so that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues or storms to your very heart and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. As yet, you exalt yourself against my people, in that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as not been in Egypt since its founding until now. That's called a hailstorm. Or hellstorm. Therefore, send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. But he did not regard the word of the Lord, left his servants and his livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, and in every herb of the field, throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire darted to the ground, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire and mingled with hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt and all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was what? No hail. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous and my people, and I am wicked. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty thunder and hail, for it is enough, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. So Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord. God. Now the flax and the barley were struck, for the barley was in the head of the, and the flax was in the bud. But the wheat and the split were not struck, for they are late crops. I'm not going to go any further than that. I think it's enough to reveal. These are the storms of righteousness to let God's people go. Does everybody understand it? God is getting people to be freed. Ezekiel 38, verse 18. And it will come to pass at the same time when God comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. That's another storm. So that the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that crept on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains will be thrown down, the steep places will fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for the sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother, and I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on the many people who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Powerful. Storms of righteousness. Luke 8:22. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples. With who? His disciples. And he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. And they laughed out. I mean, they launched out. Like, yo, really? But as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of water, and they ceased, and there was calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? In other words, man, we're in the same boat. What's the problem? I'm in a boat with you. I'm sleeping. What's your problem? You guys are looking at the storm instead of me. So many people look at the storm instead of Jesus, and they lose the peace of God. Where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Jesus reveals himself to you in storms. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him a wise man who built his house on the rock and the anointing. And the rain descended, in other words, the storm came, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. So you and I aren't going to fall, right? Because we're founded on the rock. We're ambassadors of Christ. We're stewards of the mysteries of God, and we're holders and servants to the anointing of God. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So this person fell. God exposes so much in storms. You'll be able to see how you react or respond. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as a scribe. Ooh. That's a different thing. A scribe or one with authority. It reminds them people are bound by the word and not the spirit. Or bound by the letter. Because the letter kills and the spirit brings life. Well, they know the word, but they don't know the spirit and they're not free. But they use excuses with the word. Psalm 14, we'll start at verse 1. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Boy, there's many fools out there these days. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works, and there is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand and who seek him. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call on the Lord? Are they in great fear? For God is with the generation of the righteous. You shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that salvation would come out of Zion when the Lord brings back the captivity of his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. God has brought back the captivity of his people and still bringing them back. Fools say there's no God. Many turn in the storms. When their storms come, I've heard of many atheists. When the storm comes to them, the first thing they say is, "Oh God, help me." Even though they've been proclaiming they don't believe God, they don't, you know, this, that, and whatever. But when life and death is upon them, they call out to God because that's an inner part of the conscience and of the heart that knows the truth, even though the mind and everything else is deceiving it. James 3 and verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, and do not boast, and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So many think that they're wise, but they have no understanding. Spiritual understanding. Celestial understanding. Amen. And I'm going to close in Romans 8:18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So, what's the sufferings of this present time? Storms. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we who also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Yes. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or understood. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. How's that going to happen? Through storms. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. Hallelujah. So don't run from your storm, embrace it. Let its perfect work be done in you, knowing that you're being conformed into his image and likeness in the storm. Just make sure you don't react. Don't react in a storm because it will hurt you. Respond. Don't get fearful. Don't come into doubt. No, God's working something to the good. There's a reason why that storm's there. Oh, Lord, I don't know why the storm is there. It doesn't matter. You know, so many times when storms come, we think we did something wrong. Storms have nothing to do with doing something wrong or right. They're the storms of righteousness. That's why God is shaking and quaking. It's happening all over the world. And it's not going to stop till Jesus returns. Amen? Praise God. So, Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you. We thank you for the storms. Didn't say we like them, but we thank you. And we're willing to embrace them so that we may be conformed into your image and likeness in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.